Monday with yours truly, Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful Monday afternoon. God bless you. It has been a wonderful day. I've had a good time. I had an opportunity today to share some leisure time with my bishop and a couple other people, and we just had some good time just playing a little golf, amen, and sitting back and talking after breaking bread together. And so it has been a wonderful day, and I thank God for allowing me to be able to say, hey, I feel like I got two thumbs up. My mental is 100. Amen. I'm feeling a 10. Amen. And so all is well. Amen. Do that mean I don't have any problems or any ailments or any kind of conditions on my body that I'm still working with? No, that don't mean that. But what it does mean, it does mean my spirit is high in the Lord. Amen. My faith is still strong in God. And I pray it's that way for you too. There are still challenges in my life that I'm yet to overcome. Amen. But in due time, I shall overcome them. Amen. Amen. And I just want to be an encourager, you know, to all other believers that's listening. You know, hard times happen to good people, amen, to believers, amen. And when those times come, those are moments when our faith is tested the most. And when you truly love God and dependent on Him to handle the things in your life, then whatever the challenges is, you know that God got you. At the end of the day, when it's all said and done, God knows that I have need for a home. God knows I have need for food. God knows I have need for clothing. And so all of those things are under His care. Amen. And so when I meet certain setbacks in life, financial reverses, certain sickness or illnesses, I know that my life is in His hand. Amen. Why? Because I belong to Him. And since I belong to Him, I can turn to Him who is my maker to fix things for me. Amen. And I want to encourage you to do the same. So many times we try to fix this and fix that, And in those times, sometimes, many times, we try to do it apart from God. We try to do it on our own. And when we realize I can't do everything on my own, there's only so much I can do that he's given me liberty already to do. And when I find myself in the circumstances beyond my control or beyond my fixing or beyond my understanding, that's when I truly need to turn to him and ask him for that direction, for that guidance. Why? Because I belong to him. Amen. And as a representative of the kingdom of God, it's important that I represent God right. So it's important for him that I represent him right, because I'm his product. I'm his. I'm the product of his hand. And so when you look at me and examine my life as a servant of the Most High God, as a son of God, if I'm not representing God in a good way, if you are not saved, it's not going to make you want to be saved. It's not going to want you to be. It's not going to give you a desire to want to be a child of God. If I look like I'm in trouble all the time with no hope, if I'm always frowning, if I'm always sad and miserable, you ask yourself, well, why do I need to be saved? I'm happy smoking my joint and getting high or getting drunk or doing this or doing that, you know. And so it's important for us as believers to represent God the right way. But we have to have faith in him the right way also. Amen. Amen. And so before I go on any further, I do see there's a couple people here with me today. Amen. At the beginning, amen. Well, good evening. Good evening to you. I will ask, how's your mental today? How you feeling? If you like to say so, please feel free to say how you feeling today. We here on the Six Eyes Radio Network, we are concerned with our brothers and sisters. Amen. It is okay to say that you're not okay too. This is a judgment-free zone. Once again, this is a judgment-free zone. We're not here to judge you. And if you're down, and we're here to pray with you that God will help lift you up. Amen. So, good evening.
Good evening, Pastor Bonnet. Wasn't quite ready to speak. You opened my mic. But my mental is good. Two thumbs up, nine toes up, and my crown is sitting just perfect on my head. And Diamond has thumbs up to paws up, four paws up.
All right.
I'm complete.
Thank you so very much. Amen. To our other listener, good evening. How are you doing? And how's your mental, if you like to say so? Again, no pressure. All righty. Well, we're going to put y'all all back on mute for now. Or you can mute yourself, and I just leave the mics open. Amen. As I carry on in the lesson today. Amen. Amen. We're going to Sunday school. I often say, if you don't know the Bible, you need Sunday school. And if you do know the Bible, Sunday school needs you. Amen. And we're in a very brand new quarter this month of March. We're in lesson one. We're in our spring quarter. Amen. And our lesson is the greatest commandment. Once again, our lesson is entitled The Greatest Commandment. Now, for the rest of the month, we will have Jesus cleansed the temple, triumphant and victorious, a messianic priest king, and the third day. Those would be the topics of the messages this week that we will be talking about and discussing. So please tune in. We also know that Resurrection Sunday, which most call Easter, is on the 31st, which will be the fifth Sunday of the month. And many people are practicing Lent or Lenten devotion. And the short version of that is it is a daily devotion that you apply in remembering the road to the cross. Because we are doing that as it leads up to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we'll be talking about those things. And I think Lord say the same, that fourth Sunday, I will be probably ministering the last seven sayings of Jesus as we minister the cross and what he endured on the cross as we go towards Resurrection Day. So I'm thinking about changing that up in that direction because the Sunday actually represent 3 days after the cross. And so it is the resurrection of Christ. And so I want to do more talking on the resurrection of Christ, more so than the death of Christ. So if the Lord allowed me to, I will proceed in that direction. Yes, our monthly emphasis is still on stewardship, and we will be doing our best each Sunday to bring out different teaching that encourage us to have better stewardship of the things that God has entrusted with us. Amen. Tonight, we'll be dealing with several verses of Scripture. And so I'm going to lay them out for us, and then we're going to read them and have a little talk about them as we go forward. If I can get you to have a memory verse tonight, it will be coming from some of the passages that we will be reading out of the book of Mark. Now, we're going to read several verses out of Mark, but two of the verses I would like for you to try to remember or to put to memory. Most of us have heard it to some degree, but we may not quote it all the way. Mark chapter 12. The reading is from 28 to 34. But I would like you to remember today verses 30 and 31, which simply reads, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like naming this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And so that's the verse I would like for us to try to put to memory. And if you don't particularly read from the King James Version, and if you are studying the New Living or the NIV, that's fine. Remember it as it is written within that context, but put it to remembrance best you can. Amen. Those were the words of Christ as he was again proving himself, and we'll get into that as we go, okay? One of our aims today is to explore the roots of the ancient Hebrew tradition of love your neighbor. We want to have an understanding on how to express genuine kindness to everyone when it isn't easy, and pray for forgiveness for when we're when we have universally applied God's love to those around us. Okay? One of the things about forgiveness is it's not always easy for everyone to forgive. We talk about forgiveness, but the truth about forgiveness is many times for many people, it may take a lot of effort. One basic thing that we can put to our mind that will help us to forgive is forgiveness is like a cell of cancer. Unforgiveness is like a single cell of cancer. If it's not treated, then it began to affect other cells. And before you know it, those cells begin to affect organs. And before you know it, those organs begin to affect your way of life and your life. And they can cause you your life. So by not eradicating unforgiveness, it can grow to cause you serious health problems, and it can even cause you to lose your own life. There's a lot of people that have been broken because of unforgiveness. That's where sadness comes from. That's where depression comes from. That's where oppression comes from. Someone has done things to you, it has hurt, and we're not saying what they've done is justified by any means. But when you're not able to move past the hurt, it can stem within you or stay within you and be sources of high blood pressure, aneurysm, source of pain. So it's very important for us as people to learn how to exercise the spirit of forgiveness. Simply put, let it go. I know it's easier than said than done, depending on what it was. Think on this. While you are offended and you have remained offended, the person that caused the offense have gone on to do whatever they're doing. They're no longer thinking about you. They're no longer concerned about you for the most part. So while you are there miserable, they've gone on with their life. So it's beneficial for you not to allow people to steal your time, your life, because you could be doing so much more with your life if you wasn't worrying about what someone else said to you or did towards you. Especially things that happened a long time ago. So, moving past that, and I do admit that for certain things, it may not be as easy as I am saying. But the scripture does say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth, that's a continuation, me. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth. So that means We have to learn how to cast our cares and our burdens upon the Lord. Why? Care for us. So let us get into our lesson, okay? Once again, our scriptures that we're going to be reading today are Leviticus 19 and 18. Amen. Y'all forgive my dog in the background there if he's coming through kind of loudly. Must be a stray animal or something in the backyard. He's having a fit there. Please forgive me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, and Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. Okay? I'm reading from the King James. And I only just thought that I could have did this in the New Living, but I'm going to do it, and I'm going to try to finish this in the King James. So Leviticus 19, verse 18 says, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. "For I am the Lord." So God have declared that we should bear no grudge, and we should not seek out vengeance against the children of our people. In other words, that goes on to even say, I can't, your daddy did something to me or your mama did something to me, and I'm treating you bad because your people done did something against me. We're not even to do that. Amen? And that, you know, that cover racial boundaries too. You know, somebody of a different race did something heinous towards one of your family members. Now you don't like that entire race or that entire group of people merely because of what was done to your family member. And our society have a group of people that have built hatred on that level. And so Leviticus tell us that's a no. Okay? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9 reads, verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord," capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words command thee this day shall be in thy heart." To be where? In your heart. Not just in your mind, not just in your memory, but in your heart. Your heart is how you respond. Your heart is how you react. You know, sometimes people make mistakes. They say, please don't judge my head, not my heart. You know, they'll tell you, I made a mistake, but that wasn't my heart intention. In other words, I didn't mean to do wrong. Okay? So he commanded us this day, shall be that the words that was given should be in our heart. What words? Loving God with our heart, our soul, and our might. Now, I want y'all to pay attention because we're going to see that I read it earlier in the memory verse. It had four things that were stated. And here we see three things. And I want to see if y'all catch it. So verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Okay, so it's the responsibility of parents, whether you are natural parents or surrogate parents of any kind, aunties, uncles, godparents. It's up to us to teach the children, those coming behind us, these set of rules of how to love God. And one point I will do before I go on, in all of these points, it says, love, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all, not some, all your heart, all your soul, not some, not part, and with all thy might. So all of it, not a percentage. You know, you can't tithe to God 10% of your mind. You can tithe 10% of your money, but you can't tithe 10% of your soul. You can't tithe 10% of your might. Amen, somebody. So let's be mindful. Verse 8, I'm sorry, let me go back and reread 7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. Now, they didn't have television. And so in the evening time, when the family would come in from working and being busy doing whatever they were doing that day, they would come in, and family time, that's something that our society has very little time, we take time to do anymore. You know, we got beautiful dining tables, but don't nobody eat at the table. Everybody got televisions in their own room. Everybody got tablets and cell phones. And so people eat scattered, you know. So we don't do a lot of coming together. Breaking bread together was a time of fellowship for the family. It was something to look towards. But now, you know, we just all eat, you know. Sometimes you eat what you eat. I eat something different. We got microwave dinners, and so our times are very different. So this can be a scripture to encourage us to not get away from these times of coming together, sitting down. You know, maybe part of the reason why our family lives are so stressful is because we don't come together and say, hey, honey, how was your day? And then listen. And at the end of it, if it's the things that was wrong, we prayed about them. So we don't have that as much anymore. A lot of us move out our family homes, and we get our independent lives, and during the times of our being single, it's just us. It's just you by your lonesome. So you don't have that sit down, so you're left to your own imagination. You're left to your own thought process, you know. So, again, he says, when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou layest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and thou shalt be a frontlet between thy eyes. Now, verse 8 here, I'm going to pull up in another translation. I want to make sure we have the right understanding of what that means. And we're in Deuteronomy, which is much like Bible study. It's a time for us to get information and lock it in so that we can have it for application. Amen. And so Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 7, I'm going to repeat it. The words there is, repeat them again, talking about the commandments. So this is what we're to do. Matter of fact, let me do this. Allow me to do this. Let me go back all the way to verse 4, where we saw in verse 4, we see in King James, it says, hear, O Israel. In the New Living, that same reading reads, listen, O Israel. Exclamation point. The Lord is our God. The Lord alone. Verse 5. And you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Verse 6. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Verse 7. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Verse 8, tie them to your hand and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Wow. Y'all know how we get sweatbands and stuff like that? You know, in certain cultures, part of certain organizations or certain groups, or they, you know, they will write those on those bands and they'll fold those bands up and tie them around their head. And this is simple, plain and simple what he's saying, you know, you do what you have to do that you do not forget to love God and love him and him alone, to put him above all things. Now, let me continue. In verse 9, it says, write them on the doorpost of your house. You know, we're quick to put welcome mats at our front doors, but biblical statements have we put at our front doors. So write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. You know, we got on our gates, we got that picture of no trespassing and a gun or a shotgun as an image. But what scriptures we're putting on our gates. The greatest of commandments, amen. I hear Lady Barbara saying something. I don't have a mic open up. Hold on, Lady, but I hear you saying something. There's an echo. So let me go here. Okay. She's listening from afar then. She's not on my page view, live page. Okay. Amen. But in which way, let me continue. Something has happened to our main screen there. Oh, there we go. Amen, amen. And God bless all our other listeners that's tuning in. Once again, our topic tonight is the greatest commandment. Amen. And we have read Leviticus 19, chapter 19, verse 18. And we just got finished reading Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9. Now we're going to who was teaching the lesson in the New Testament, and that's Jesus. Mark records for us this encounter. So let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Amen. Go back to the page. Amen. Now, so Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34. And so I want to look at that. One of the things that Jesus kept facing was the religious leaders of his day and time was always challenging him because he didn't go to their schooling. He didn't come up under their tutelage. So many times they were trying to question the validity of the things he was stating. They were trying to, because he didn't come up under them, and really he picked up from where John the Baptist left out, preaching repentance for the kingdom of God is at hand. He picked up from where John the Baptist left off. He didn't pick up from any other strives. He didn't teach like them. He often went into the synagogue and listened to them and even debated with them and began to teach people how to understand the law. And so one of the things that we heard him say, I think not that I've come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it, you know, because one of the misnomers is that Jesus was coming to liberate the Israelites from up under their oppressors. So they was looking for a conquering king to come by. They weren't looking for redemption. They was looking for a different type of salvation. They wanted a revolution. They wanted, and that's why other people had, like Barabbas and stuff during that day and time, had their movement in there because the people was looking how to come from up under that Roman rule, and that governing system that they was under. So they were looking for things different. But so Jesus came a whole different way. He came to save our soul. He came to redeem us wholly. He wasn't focusing on the body, but he did many miracles for the body. He healed the body of all ailments and different diseases. But that was so that he can minister to their hearts. So let's go to Mark chapter 12 and verse number 28. And I'm reading in the King James. And one of these scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Now, you done seen Jesus answering other people and responding to them correctly. But nevertheless, you're listening to them, hearing them, but you still go back and ask them this question. So, and Jesus answered him, the first of all commandment is, so he let them know, man, I know the law. So he tells them, and that's why we read it earlier, so that we'll know what it says. But listen to what Jesus says. And we read it from Deuteronomy, okay? Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, he added something in that. or he stated something in that that maybe we didn't get from Deuteronomy. Remember, in Deuteronomy, it said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." So that's what he said. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart." That's the first one, is with all thy soul. But the third statement in Deuteronomy, it says, "Mine." I read the wrong one. In Deuteronomy, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God." So he says, heart, your soul, and then he says, might, which is strength. So, but he lets us know that we're to love God with our mind and strength, soul and heart. So your soul, all of your soul belong to God, but also your mind. Your conscious, we have that subconscious and that our regular thinking, our mind, on how we do things, not just how we process them. So he breaks that down for us to really understand that we're to give God our all, our everything. So Mark is really giving us to know that 100% of you, the parts you can touch and the parts you can't touch, we're to give that to God. Verse 30, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And the second is liken. Here we go. "And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." That means we can sit here and go through the Ten Commandments. We can sit here and read all 610 laws of the Torah. And out of all the commandments, there's no greater commandment than these two. One, to love God with our everything. And two, to love our neighbor the same as we love ourselves. Now, unless you hate yourself, this means if you don't do yourself no harm, then you don't do no harm to your neighbor. This scripture applies that you love yourself. It does not apply that you're a person that don't think you deserve to live. Because if you don't think you deserve to live, you may not think that anybody deserves to live. If you're mad and angry about your life and can't stand your life, then you definitely don't respect the life of nobody else's. So if I first love God with my everything, then I can't help but to be like him who is love. So I can't help but to love myself because God so loved the world, so he loved me. So because he loved me, he loves you. So just like he loves me and have mercy and patience for me, so must I, in loving myself, who have accepted the love of God, I must apply that same love to you. So that is the first key for me to be able to forgive you when you have offended me. That was verse 31. We've got three more verses to read, 32 and 33 and 34. It says, "So there is none other commandment greater than these." That was the end of it. 31. 32 says, and the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offering and sacrifice. So that no matter what you were doing in recognition or honoring God, to observe these two commandments was greater than any sacrifice that you could do, was greater than any offering you could offer up to God. Because, in essence, you were offering him yourself. And when you loved your neighbor, you were making yourself available for the use of God. Verse 34 says, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. Wow. You ain't far. In other words, you get close. So evidently, they still have some stuff they had got Jesus had to work with him on. He said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and no man after that doth ask him any more questions. In other words, after he done passed their test, they left him alone. You know, sometimes when we go out evangelizing and ministering in the street, in the public, you will have people that will challenge you in your faith walk. They will ask you many, many questions. Well, if Christians are so this, why y'all doing this and why y'all doing that and why this pastor do this and why that pastor do that? Number one, stop answering questions about another person's actions. Because you don't know why they did what they did. If you're not a part of that group or organization where you have direct insight on why they do what they do, leave it alone. When it comes down to right and wrong, stay in the book. Period. People will get you trapped in condemning other believers. That is not the walk of believers. The Apostle Paul talked about that. He brought shame to us. He told us, and it was considering brother taking another brother to law. He said, I say this to y'all shame. None among y'all are righteous enough to judge another matter, but you got to take your brother to an ungodly court. People that don't walk and believe like we believe. And he talked about many things in that area. And so we have to be careful that as representative of God, we don't misrepresent God. Amen. So we don't want to misrepresent God. So it's important for us, as we are observing the scriptures, even ones that we have trouble with, when people begin to ask you questions about doctrine, you do not have an opinion. If God said it, that settles it. Now, even if it's something that you're still working on overcoming, and call it what it is. They say, well, you do such and such. Well, yep, keep praying for me. God, he going to deliver me one day. Don't get caught in that condemnation type of conversation. Because we all are not called to be judges. Now, debating the commandment, the scribes often argue with Jesus about the correct way to interpret the law. Jesus was questioned on a topic that was currently debated by many rabbis and priests in Israel. Which commandment was the greatest? That's one of the things that they want to know. At the time, the rabbis such as Hillel, that is H-I-L-L-E-L, did not think that all the commandments held equal importance. The idea was to find the parent commandment, which from all the other commandments could be reduced. Jesus responded with two passages familiar to his audience, defining his understanding of the law and what it meant to follow God's commandment truly. So that's where when he's talking in Mark, he's letting them know, I do know the Mosaic law. I do know the Shema. And, you know, that's, we'll get to that more. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. So I do know the Shema. And so a lot of times he was proving to them because they kept trying to come him on technical things. But he was letting them know that they were living more so by traditions and not necessarily the word of God. So they were listening to the teachings of men. Okay? The Pharisees and the Herodians and the Sadducees had just finished asking Jesus a question meant to trip him up. But Jesus displayed the wisdom of God in all his answering. One of the scribes who was listening was impressed. He said that Jesus answered the question well. And that's what he said to him. In other words, in his estimation, Jesus had answered their questions admirably. While it was obviously that the motivation of the three groups who were questioning Jesus was to trip him up. Amen. They were trying to trap him. They were always trying to trap him in some type of thing concerning the law, concerning the written rule. They even tried to trap him. Y'all remember the woman they brought to him that was just caught in the act of adultery. That means they knew fornication was going on somewhere. And they just caught a woman. And here it is, Jesus is in the middle of a teaching lesson. And they come and disturb his class, put a woman. We don't know how she was dressed because they caught her in the very act of adultery. So we don't know if they covered her back up all the way. We don't know if they left her in, whether she had clothes on like a harlot, and they left her with those on. We don't know. All we know is they threw her down towards him in the midst of his class. And they say to him, Rabbi, we just caught this woman in the act of adultery. Moses says in the law, and this is how they got to him. Moses says in the law, such a woman need to be stoned. Well, there are several things that gave Moses the reason for doing what he did and the way he wrote the law. One reason why the Mosaic law was written the way it was because the children of Israel kept on practicing ungodly practices that the Egyptians were doing. Having multiple sexual partners and multiple wives, those are some of the same acts that the Egyptians was applying. So he had to write these things, and in order for them to stop doing it, he had to make them capital punishment. He had to make them punishment so that they will be afraid to keep on carrying on those acts. So a lot of stuff that done today that falls up under grace, that you have to deal with the consequences of those actions, but those actions don't necessarily lead to your immediate death because they're not capital punishments anymore. But he had to do that. So many things he had to do so that they will break the tradition of the Egyptians, who only did certain things because they was worshiping idol gods. It wasn't that all the things that Moses was giving them was to bring people closer to God, but it was trying to get the devil out of them. So let me move on. So they was always trying to trip them up. And so they said, Moses said, and so he ignored them. He ignored them because he knew what they were trying to do. He ignored their attempt to get him to pass judgment on the woman, because Moses' law says that if an act of adultery is going on, both the man and the woman is to be stoned. They didn't bring the man to Jesus. So they was biased, number one, in their judgment. In other words, it was all right for him, but it wasn't right for her. And so they asked him again, and they pressed him for an answer. So he simply said, okay, I see the game y'all want to play. You who have no sin, you throw the first stone. Period. The Bible records one by one, starting with the eldest, began to walk out of that. It's amazing that the old man left first. The self-righteous people began to fall off of that because he said, you who have no sin, throw the first stone. And so if a crowd of you brought a woman in a mess, however many that was, you mean to tell me all of y'all, not one of y'all was righteous? But you could sit here and be unrighteous to this woman? In other words, y'all knew this woman been like this for a while. Y'all never tried to stop her, persuade her. You were only doing this so that you could trap him. So he simply says to her, woman, where are your accusers? And she looked around. She said, there's none here, Lord. He said, with a stone in his hand, he said, well, neither do I condemn you. No one else is here to condemn you, so I don't. Go and sin no more. This is how Jesus brought proper understanding to the scripture, because true enough, she was caught in the act. He could have said, go get the fellow. That whole scenario would have been different. He could have said, okay. Y'all done got me somebody to kill today. Go get the fellow. Huh? We're going to obey Moses. Go get him where he at. I hope he got all his affairs in order, because today he going to die. But that didn't happen. Because that's not the heart of God. And see, other people may throw you what we call under the bus, but Jesus is here to get the bus off of us. Amen, somebody. Yeah, thank God for grace. You're right, Amber. I sure appreciate it. Thank God for grace. So these were the things that... So in these two verses, Jesus recites our hero Israel. We read it earlier. In those two verses, Jesus is reciting the Shema. The Shema is what the Jews, the Hebrew, when they was reading the law, they would read the law a certain way. Some would read the law from memory with a hand covered over, because the first part of the law gives the name of God. And so they were being impersonate with it. Now, that's what Jews do today. We're not 100% certain on how they did it then. We just understand the practice today. So, because when I read the scripture, I always see God reaching out to the people to be connected to the people. And the way I see some people in their religious relationship with God is as if God is so far removed from man, so distant from man. And I think that was probably the primary reasoning for God to demonstrate his tri-human being to us by allowing Jesus, which is the second part of his body, to come in a natural flesh form so that he can prove that he is relatable to us. So when the scripture says we have a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, talking about Jesus, because he felt what we feel. He gone through hunger. He gone through walking and getting blisters on his feet. He gone through his stomach growling. He gone through temptation, being tempted in his flesh with the things that was attractive to him. Just like our temptations are based on things that are attractive to us. So, you know, no two temptations may not be the same. Your temptation and my temptation may be totally different. You know, you can sit a lemon pound cake between the two of us, and I'm going to look at you and I'm going to take half of it. And if you don't move fast enough, I'm going to take the other half too. Well, in the same thing, if you put a chocolate cake between you and me, I'm going to push it over to you. I'm going to say, man, enjoy yourself, because that ain't my temptation. Amen. But that lemon pound cake, oh, yeah. And don't let me mess around half on some milk, you know, some good old Kool-Aid. I'm going to eat it all. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Preacher, don't eat it all. Okay. Pray for me. Pray my strength in the Lord, people. Pray my strength. Amen. So when we were looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, this is known to the Jews as the Shema. The Hebrew word is here, Shema, taken from the first word of verse 4, observant. Jews recite these verses daily. God revealed himself to Israel as Lord or Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H. That's how it is spelled in Hebrew. His personal name, and he gave his people the name Israel, which is Yahreel, which is Y-I-S-R. That's how it's spelled in Hebrew. But we spell it Israel with just the I. We don't use the Y. Don't ask me why. As language developed and evolved, things changed. Because, you know, in the original Hebrews, there's actually no letter J. So all the names that we see in our traditional English Bible that uses J's, if you get a book that is translated using the original Hebrew names and terms without translation, you won't see the same name. So it may throw some of you off. But that's in studying and understanding. And these things are not written to deceive of anything that way. So don't think nothing synonymous about it. It is just simply the way translations have evolved over time. So moving forward, so he being God, gave the people the name Israel. Remember, Jacob had wrestled with God or wrestled with the angel, rather, to the day could break, to the break of day. And the angel said, let me go. He said, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. And he kept on wrestling with him. He wouldn't let him go because of fear of what his brother may do. So he wanted assurance from God that everything was going to be all right. And so the angel smoked him, hit him in the hip, hollowing out that part of his hip. And in recognition of that, they don't eat that part of the meat of a calf in recognition of that. And so the angel asked him, what's your name? And he said, Jacob. Jacob's name in the beginning meant trickster, and neither one of those names is what God wanted the image of his people to be. So he named them Israel. And so that's why the Israelites are who they are today, because that name was given to them as a people. And that's a whole nother history behind that, so we don't have time to jump into all of that today. And I want to give opportunity for anyone to ask any question. So allow me to finish this part of the Sunday school lesson. Then that Israel, which means he struggled with God. So the Israelites was constantly known for receiving God's blessing, backsliding, needing God's blessings again. So they were always in a struggle with God, up and down relationship. So these names were given to Jacob because he struggled with God and overcame, knowing that there is only one God, should have brought a great sense of security to the Lord's people. They did not have to worry about pleasing, competing God like the other nations that had different gods, a God for sex, a God for procreation, God for agriculture, God for this, God. They had so many different types of God. And so God letting them know, you're my people. I'm the only God. There's no other God. Those are all man-made ideas, man-made systems. Even Venus, the god Venus, because of a meteorite ore fell down, they start worshiping that. So many things that men began to worship that had no power to grant anybody any provisions of any kind. This would build the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God. And the Lord there is the all-sufficient one. The God there is the creator of heaven and earth. That's the Lord your God, Elohim. Think in Deuteronomy it written Adonai. And so your God, the God, he's the only one God. There's no other. So give him your all. And it breaks that, what that means to us. And so to them, that was something that was supposed to be a constant reminder. So that's why he said, write it on your hand. In other words, take a You know, how remember we had those bracelets that said WWJD on them? So what would Jesus do? Amen. So that, in essence, was a symbol of obeying that scripture. So hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So imagine if you made yourself a bracelet. We have all types of jewelry today. But imagine, I have one on right now that got crosses on it. So imagine if I had that scripture on, and in the morning time when I got up, I will recite that. In the evening time before I go to bed, I will recite that. Every day I will teach my children to love the Lord thy God, to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Imagine if that was our conversation every single day. Now, I'm very guilty of the statement I'm about to make. If we did that like the word said, then our children would not be where they are. They may be in a whole better place, because all they would have heard from us, this is how you love God. Imagine if our world today had that resounding on our televisions, our commercials. Love your neighbor as yourself. If we woke up in the morning, we turned on the TV, and the TV said, hey, America, remember, love your neighbor as you love yourself. I can imagine in the noonday, the news started out, oh, this afternoon we have traffic over here, slight chance of rain, and remember, love your neighbor as yourself. At nighttime, good evening, the presidential debate was a disaster, but remember, love your neighbor as yourself. Can you imagine what type of world we will have today? That was a constant reminder. Do good to others. Love your neighbor. Now, I got to open up the mic for that. I just want to hear some feedback from some of y'all on that. So I'm opening up the mics right now. If you got noise in your background, please just mute your phone. But I want to give all of you a chance to respond to that. Do you think our world would be better, or our family life would be better, if we practiced that like the Bible really told us to?
Yes, Pastor, I think that would be a great suggestion. Love thy neighbor if you love thyself. I think that would go over very well if we did it on the continual. That would be real great.
All right, all right. Anyone else? Anyone else? And your feedback is your comment is your comment.
God bless you, Pastor.
Yes, thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Do anybody love your neighbor as yourself? Let me ask you a real tough question then. Are you practicing that? Maybe that's why you don't want to answer that. Maybe it's a challenge. Maybe you're saying, Brother Preacher, you don't know my neighbor. And they keep kicking my dog. So maybe that's the issue. You know, your cat ran away and they got it and won't let it out. I don't know. I don't know. So talk to me now. Talk to me. The mics are open.
Lord, I just love my neighbor. She always give us cake, pies. She always give us banana pudding. He give my husband his lemon meringue pie. So his banana pudding. So
yeah.
We definitely love our neighbor. Not because of that, but we have to love our neighbor.
Absolutely. That helps, though. That helps. That helps, because she done extended some show love. She got guaranteed love. Anybody? Well.
All right. Well, I do my best to love my neighbor as thyself. And sometimes it can be challenging because we know people get emotional and get into their feelings. And, you know, I have to remember, God bless you, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when I need to kind of separate. But I still have love for those around me. So with that, I'm complete.
Allow me to ask a tough question, okay?
Okay.
We love our family members, yes, but isn't there some family members that we love, that we say we love, but we done cuss them flat-footed out and then still eat dinner with them, still go drinking with them or whatever you do socially or whatever, however y'all socialize? Mm-hmm. Am I telling the truth?
I can't think of. Let me think. cussing the other out. Relatives only if they curse me. I had to think about it. And I can only think of one relative that actually pushed me to that point. So maybe two.
My point is, don't you still love them? You got that?
Yeah,
I still
love them.
You got that one family member that always get on your nerves. Maybe you don't cuss them out. Maybe they cuss you out. But just
maybe I just hang up.
Do we not still love those family members?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we give them that love. We give them that agape love. That love that I forgot to give y'all that definition early. Love. And Mark, we were talking about love. That's that inner desire to be loyal or to sacrifice for God, for the good of others, to sacrifice for the good of others. And so to be loyal. So there are certain family members that get on our nerves. There are certain people in our inner circle that get on our nerves. But yet somehow or another, we find a way to still extend love to them. Even at times when we don't feel like they love us the same. So, saying here is, at some point we have to figure out how to navigate our emotional gate to love even our neighbors on the same level. Because most times we think love as a feeling. But love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. The commandment, the Bible says God commanded his love towards us. And so how do we know that he commanded his love towards us? He gave us his only begotten son to die for us. So he demonstrated his love towards us in allowing his only son to die on a cross for our sins. To go punishment, that shame, that embarrassment. So we have control on our love gate. The problem is we don't understand it that much because of the way we process that in our mind. So think about the things that you are passionate about. Have you ever found yourself defending something that you have no investment in? Because you like it or you enjoy it, it had brought benefits to you, but someone spoke against it, and you find yourself defending it. Such as a drink, a sports team, or whatever. When we apply that agape love, we'll defend for it.
Hey, man, a cellular device, an Apple product, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There you go. Now you're walking with me. Now you're walking with me. Listen, and them things ain't giving you no money back. You ain't got no residual income coming back from it. They don't build, but you stand on them because you made a conscious decision. This is the product I like. I'm going to stand with it.
Yeah.
And the same come again. So imagine if we treat one another that way. I ain't going to let you talk bad about me. No. I don't care what you say. You got one more time. I'm hanging this phone up. What?
Hang it up.
I know Queen like that. Anyway, that's right, though. Let them talk about me. Anyway,
yep.
Understand each other now. This is not a mixing of guilt of any kind. I am not fishing. But that's the way we are to be in our genuine love towards one another and our neighbors. The Bible tells us if we would want a friend, we must first find ourselves to be friendly. So it's important that if I want to build relationships on love boundaries, friendship, true friendship, many of us have many associates. You know, people we come in contact with. But friends, you know, you don't have a whole lot of them. Now, once you've given somebody the status of friends, what you have literally did is you have literally gave them access to your heart gate. And one of the reasons why I think that at times we don't love all of our neighbors as ourselves because we don't want to give everybody access to our heart gate. Think if we learn how to apply the garbage can empty, we can be able to do that a little bit better. Because the garbage can is garbage. I'm going to love you as a person. I'm going to treat you with respect and honor because I want you to treat me with respect and honor. But you always cussing. You always doing this. So I'm going to just throw all them words in the garbage can at the gate. I'm going to still see you as a potential vessel for God to use. Because that's what you are. You're in his image and in his likeness. Although right now you ain't doing nothing like him. You're definitely not reflecting him. But I'm going to leave those negative things in the garbage can at the gate. And I'm going to love you anyway. So if I see you hungry, I'm going to feed you. If I see you in need of prayer, I'm still going to pray for you. And I think that's the essence of beginning. And the Holy Spirit has to give us more, but that's the essence of the beginning of loving your neighbor as yourself. But that starts with me having an everyday walk and talk with God. I must strengthen my relationship with God because as I examine my relationship with God and see how much he loves me and how much of my garbage he's leaving at the gate, when I see that he's still loving me with all my shortcomings, And I know to whom, you know, whoever been forgiven much, love much. Whoever been forgiven little, love little. That is a teaching. But isn't it still love? And so we have to realize that every day that I'm not doing all that God has told me to do, He's applying His grace and mercy towards me. And I should be thankful for that, and I should spread that grace to others. Amen. Well, we have come to the end of this program. Amen. I want to give everyone else a chance to come in with final comments or final words or questions before we close out, any prayer requests or anything of that nature. I don't want to be late to work tonight, so I have about 10 minutes to leave the house. Actually, I got a little bit less than that. So,
we'll pray for increase for us all. Increase for us all.
Okay.
Health increase, financial increase. I need financial increase.
All areas.
Amen. Anyone else? Well, once again, I want to thank you for joining us here on the 6 by 9 Motivational Morning with yours truly. Thank you so very much. Stay tuned to other programming throughout this whole week. There's many programming going on, both on this station and the next station. And so we look forward to seeing you, amen, join us on Wednesday night for the Gospel Wednesday Night Bible Study. Amen. Amen. And many other programming. We got a new change up. You know, we have My Daddy Records on Friday, but we got AJ and the squad on the second station. Tune in to them, you know, on Thursday, The Truth of the Whole Matter. So many different programs here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. On Saturdays, we got it kicking it with Six Eyes and the ATL and crew. Amen. And so there's so much going on here with the Six Eyes Radio Network. We encourage you to lock in our Facebook page, our Twitter page. You can find us, you can download Blog Talk Radio and sign up just by typing in Six Eyes Radio. You can go to iHeartRadio and type in Six Eyes Radio, and you'll find us right there. And wherever you find us, we just want to say thank you for finding us, and we hope that we are a good combination for your listening. We pray the strength of God for you and your family, and may God watch you. Now, by the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may His Spirit rest, rule, and abide with each one of us here, now, and forever. God, as we leave this place but not your presence, we ask that your traveling mercy and grace be upon us. Keep us safe as we go in and as we come out. Watch over our possession. Watch over our lives. And as Six said, oh God, we ask for you to give us increase. But as you give us increase, give us wisdom on how to regulate those funds, how to regulate our lives so that we don't abuse those things that you have given us. Teach us how to use what you've already given us, Lord God. And as you do these things, God, we say thank you. We love you today, and we give you glory, honor, and praise. Amen and amen. Good night, all. I love
amen.
You with the love of Christ. Next time.
Good night, America. You just enjoyed Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Every Monday, 8 Central, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, Motivational Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet. Good night, America.
Amen.